Hey, everybody, is your baby racist? The Arizona Board of Education has new guidelines, a toolkit designed around teaching your child that when they were a baby, they are racist. That is the new Arizona Department of Education equity guidelines. We dive into that and so much more. And what is happening in Arizona? Why is Arizona becoming a Democrat state? We have an exclusive look of a state we know very well. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program and our team of researchers, editors, and the hustle of our team, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Check it out and support us if you can at charliekirk.com/support. I want to name off some of our supporters that have really gotten behind us in the last couple days. I want to thank Sam from Idaho, who says, keep up the good work, Charlie. God bless you. I want to thank Deborah from Washington. Thank you for all you do, and God bless you and your soon-to-be wife. Thank you guys so much. CharlieKirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Is your baby racist? Find out. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
This is the Arizona Department of Education. This is not New York. This is not Malibu. This is not Chicago. This is Arizona. Arizona has released a new equity toolkit intended to help families and teachers tackle racism among children. It advises that even babies as young as 3 months old can show racial prejudice. Their evidence? They look at more faces which match the race of their caregivers. According to the toolkit, by the age of 2 and half kids use race to determine who their playmate should be. Expressions of racial prejudice often peak at ages 4 and 5. It says by kindergarten, children show that many of the same racial prejudice often peaks at that age. The toolkit is largely inspired by an activist fool, a racist, Ibram X. Kendi. You see, we've gotten to a point in our country where we are so decent to one another that there's an incredible supply and demand problem when it comes to racism. The great Douglas Murray makes this comparison. There's an unbelievable demand to find racism. There's such a limited supply that now your tax dollars in Arizona are going towards teaching teachers and instructors that your three-month-old might be David Duke, that your three-month-year-old child might actually have deep, racist, bitter resentment. Now, the chart that Arizona is using, the Arizona Department of Education, which, of course, is all rooted in critical race theory. This is incredibly flawed, divisive, immoral teaching that the tax dollars of Arizona are going towards. The Arizona Department of Education. It says, at birth, babies look equally at the faces of all races. But at 3 months, babies look more at the faces that match the race of their caregivers. Kelly et al., 2005. This is the study that they're citing, which, again, does not imply racism at all. You're trying to tell me that a three-month-old that is wholly dependent might actually look at the person who is allowing them to continue to survive? Doesn't it exactly scream racial discrimination for me? It continues by saying, by 30 months, most children use race to choose playmates. The guiding principle that the Arizona Department of Education believes in is, quote, young children notice and think about race. Adults often worry that talking about race will encourage racial bias in children. But the opposite is true. Silence about race reinforces racism. By the way, there's no evidence of any of this. This is written by activists for an activistic purpose. This is not scientific. There's no studies. By letting children draw their own conclusions based on what they see, teachers and families can play a powerful role in helping children of all ages develop positive attitudes about race and diversity and skills to promote a more just future, but only if we talk about it. One of my least favorite things, we must have a conversation about race. Actually, no, we shouldn't. You see, one of the methods, strategies, tactics used by the postmodernists, by the people that are teaching your children right now, yes, even in the once conservative state of Arizona, for all my friends listening on AM 960, The Answer, The Patriot, is to hyper-fixate on race. There has not been a group of people that have cared this much about race since the KKK. The people that are teaching your children care more about race than the Ku Klux Klan did. Everything's about race. In fact, the curriculum that children in Arizona Department of School Education schools are being taught is they're not too young to talk about race. They want to lead with race. Why? One of the most simple ways to destroy a prosperous country is dividing people in three ways: class, gender, and race. So in America, because of a vibrant free market system, it's very hard to divide people based on class. They're trying. There's some legitimacy to some of the economic anxiety happening in our country. But those concerns can be alleviated rather simply through public policy measures. How about on gender? They've tried. Me Too, Believe All Women. But many of these movements kind of fizzle out as soon as evidence, cross-examination, due process, nuance gets brought into the conversation. But race, that's the one that the cultural Marxists have focused on. You see, since America abolished slavery, since America was founded on freedom and not on slavery, Thomas Jefferson, in his original draft of the Declaration of Independence, denounced slavery and blamed King George for it. George Washington said no new slaves in the Northwest Territories. Thomas Jefferson disallowed new slaves from bringing to the United States. Vermont abolished slavery in 1777. America was founded on the abolition of slavery, not immediately, but eventually. John Quincy Adams, America's sixth president, was a fierce anti-slavery advocate. And America eventually accomplished that moral good of which every civilization, every country participated in slavery, from the Greeks to the Romans to the Chinese to the British Empire on forth. Slavery was the norm. America was the exception. But because we even have that in our history, the people who wish to divide us, the people that want power at all costs, they have realized they've hit a chord that gives them a platform, which is to emphasize endlessly the race struggle in our country. The class struggle failed under Occupy Wall Street. The gender struggle failed under Me Too. The race struggle is succeeding. And it's not enough just to say that we should have a country where we don't judge people based on skin color. You see, the people that are putting forward this critical race theory, this curriculum that's being taught in the Arizona Department of Education, saying that your three-month-old might be racist, they're of the belief the only way we can get rid of racism is get rid of the entire system. So instead of trying to create a country that respects people's character, how they act, there is a heavy emphasis on race. 9 years ago, I was in high school. And our high school was very racially diverse. It was 53% English as a second language, 53% Hispanic. And kids made stupid jokes here and there, but generally, as a rule, we got along very well. There was not any need for critical race theory in the curriculum. There was not a need for an abolition of whiteness. By having dialogue, discussion, the correct amount of friendships, life went on, and the idea of race was a non-issue. This was always Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. He wanted a country where people were looked at based on character, not skin color. So there's a couple different ways to foment the rage necessary to overthrow a system. We have gone through in great detail different successful revolutions of the last 100 years. The Cuban Revolution, the Chinese Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the French Revolution, which predated that. That was more than 100 years ago. However, typically revolutions happen based on class complaints, gender complaints, or race complaints. Over the last decade, there have been many different attempts at trying to incite the rage to justify a permanent power grab. Occupy Wall Street was the first attempt at that. Now, why did Occupy Wall Street fail? Occupy Wall Street failed because America has such a flourishing, vibrant, and strong economic middle class. Now, it's been under attack in recent years. The middle class is struggling, but generally, when you try to persuade tens of millions of people to go overthrow the entire United States financial and banking system, people say, yeah, there might be some things wrong with the system in general, but I at least have some faith that when I work hard and play by the rules, I'm going to see some form of a reward. And then the Me Too movement happened in 2017, 2018 as a way to try to destroy Trump, as a way to try to start a gender war in our country. Interestingly enough, the left doesn't believe in genders at all. They think it's a social construct. And they tried it with Brett Kavanaugh. They tried it with Donald Trump. And the only real successes they've had, I would probably say, is Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, and Kevin Spacey, who I don't think anyone would argue as being worthy of defense or protection, considering what they did. Al Franken might be another example of that. You see, but the forces that wish to divide us, almost neo-Marxist forces, having failed starting an economic war, having failed starting a gender war, they now are being incredibly successful, surprisingly successful, starting a racial conflict in our country. Not based on evidence, not based on facts, not based on history, not based on reason or logic, but instead based almost solely on emotionally driven arguments. And my theory on how Arizona and the Arizona Department of Education, says that your baby is racist. This is in the curriculum in Arizona. The Equity Toolkit, funded by the Arizona taxpayers. Critical race theory. The state's supposed to be run by Republicans. So how are the critical race theory activists being so effective? What is their secret? The critical race theory movement preys on the best intentions of decent Americans. No one wants to be called a racist, therefore they're willing to do whatever it takes to not have the R word slapped on them. By now you've heard me talk about how MyPillow is terrific. And look, Mike Lindell is under fire right now. And so maybe you're going for a walk, maybe you're riding your bike, maybe you're shoveling some snow. You say, Mike Lindell? Mike Lindell is under fire. And so if you want to support Mike Lindell, who's a courageous American, he's a friend of mine, then there's one way you can do it. You can buy great pillows that are made here in America. You can wash and dry them, and you know how great they are. You see the commercials and all this, but look, I'm going to tell you something that no one else is going to tell you, is that Mike Lindell loves America and that millions and millions of people want to help Mike Lindell. I know, I get emails from people all the time, thousands of people. They say, how can we help Mike Lindell? How can we get behind Mike Lindell? How can we support Mike Lindell? So go to MyPillow.com, and guess what? You can support two people at once. So you can support Mike Lindell, The Charlie Kirk Show, and get something in return. You might say, how do I do that? You go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listeners, Radio Listeners Square, and use the promo code Kirk. It's that easy. So MyPillow.com. I know that a lot of you want to get Mike Lindell, and you say, how can I help? Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. Support the fighters, metaphorical, of course. I know a lot of you want to do that. Go to MyPillow.com, Radio Listener Square, promo code Kirk. It helps me, it helps Mike, and you get a pillow and you sleep well. God bless America. Arizona's supposed to be a Republican state. Arizona has a Republican governor, has a Republican attorney general. Why is it that Arizona is acting like Rhode Island? It's not just in one point of policy. It's not just this one piece of Arizona Department of Education. You see, Arizona was a comfortably Republican state run by people who are Democrats calling themselves Republicans, like John McCain and Jeff Flake. But what's happened over the last couple of years is tragic. So we're here in Arizona right now. I left Illinois because of high taxes, corrupt politicians, people that said one thing and did the other. And I came to a state that I thought was a freedom-loving state, a state that had open carry, a state that was trying to eliminate the income tax, a state that had vibrant, robust job and economic growth. But over the last couple of years, I've realized the consequence of having weak Republicans. And I know Governor Ducey. I've met him on many occasions. I think he's a very nice person. And I'll say privately what I would say publicly. I'll say publicly what I'd say privately to him, which is, what are we doing in Arizona to actually prove the difference of conservative, courageous leadership versus the typical Democrat governor? According to the New York Times, Arizona is the only Republican state left in the country that is still mixed, closed, and open because of government mandates when it comes to the Chinese coronavirus. With masks, Arizona still sometimes requires masks, whereas most other Republican states have no restrictions. Why is Arizona acting like this? Arizona legalized marijuana this last year. Arizona raised taxes to be one of the highest in the country through Proposition 208. And in defense of the governor, he opposed that. But what are we doing to actually repeal the income tax in this state? And now the Arizona Department of Education has come out and said that we need to have, not just we need to, we have an equity toolkit. What is going on in the state of Arizona? And we've talked about this in our team. We have our headquarters here. If things don't start to change to Arizona, we will close up shop and go to Florida. It's that simple. We can keep moving. I don't want to do that. It's a cost to that. We are not going to be perpetually tied down in a suburb of California because of weak Republican leadership. I don't want to have that happen. And so now I wake up this morning to do show prep, and there's a lot to talk about. A lot. Andrew Cuomo, the George Floyd police reform bill, the voting bill. But we led with, for a reason, this Arizona Department of Education. Now, the Arizona Senate came out yesterday, allegedly in response to this, and did something rather milquetoast. They said that we have the Academic Transparency Act, which allows parents to know what's being taught in their kids' classrooms. Really? That's your response to this? How about this? Saying, if you teach critical race theory in any school, you'll be defunded and investigated. How about that? If you teach ideology that is most akin to the KKK dogma and doctrine that race matters, then you'll be defunded. It should be against the law. But instead, they do the typical Arizona thing or whatever. Weak. Meanwhile, Governor Kristi Noem and Governor Ron DeSantis, they're doing everything right. Anti-rioting bills, completely open, no masks, no restrictions, open schools, 0% income tax, both on the business and the personal side. So what is the excuse? One of the reasons why Arizona is so unbelievably screwed up is because of John McCain and his political machine. The very corrupt, self-dealing political machine ran the state for quite some time. And I actually didn't plan to talk about this thing here, this baby racism thing in the Arizona Department of Education. The reason is that I am growing increasingly frustrated. The only difference between Governor Ron DeSantis and the rest of these governors, including in Arizona, is courage. That's it. Ron DeSantis has fully opened his state. And don't give me that Arizona has an elderly population. Florida has the second most elderly population in the country. The virus isn't acting differently in Scottsdale than it is in Sarasota. It's the same virus. The difference is courage. Look, I've known Doug Ducey for a couple years. I think he's a very pleasant person. I do. I'm not going to say anything about him personally. But he's at a crossroads here. He can either be like Ron DeSantis, Abbott, and Kristi Noem, or he can continue to go the way of Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, and Andrew Cuomo. So now you have critical race theory, high taxes, legalized weed, two Democrat senators, you send your electors to Joe Biden, and people in Arizona, such as myself, I say, time out. What exactly is the difference between living in Arizona and Colorado? I guess there's a little bit different of living in Arizona versus Sacramento, but the amount of influx of Californians, it's marginal. But here's the opportunity, Governor Ducey. The people of Arizona are with you. Just look at the voter registration numbers. Republicans are outpacing Democrats still. This is a center-right state. Stop governing like this is Vermont or Maryland. The people will celebrate a reopening in Arizona. The people will applaud a denunciation of critical race theory in our schools. Do you know that Arizona, according to voter registration records, is more conservative than Florida? The only difference is the person that occupies the governor's mansion and how they act. That's the only difference. And the thing that we have learned from DeSantis is that when you implement conservative policies and you articulate them, people can actually move in public opinion towards you. But if you live in the fear of repudiation or condemnation from the Arizona Republic or the Arizona Central or the Washington Post or the LA Times, then you're never going to get anything done. People say, why is Arizona slipping to be more Democrat? Because they don't have any example of Republicans doing anything meaningful in this state. That's why. Why is Florida becoming more conservative? Because they're rewarding what's working. That's why. In Arizona, they look around, they say, wait a second. I voted for all these Republicans. My business is closed. My gym is closed. My church is closed. I have to wear a mask when I shower. They raise my taxes. Weed is now legalized. What difference does it make? And DeSantis and Noem prove that when you stand on conservative policies, you get more popular. You stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So this is a very big opportunity for the state of Arizona. Arizona is at a critical crossroads. And Greg Abbott, by the way, was going the way of being weak, and now he's adjusted and he's been phenomenal. He's been great on tech. He's been great on immigration. He's been great on openings. He's been great on masks. I want to praise Greg Abbott on this program. And I went after him at a different time. He's been great. But Arizona is now a battleground state. Why is Arizona a battleground state? Well, mainly because Republicans in this state have done a poor job articulating what the heck we stand for. Arizona can either go the way of Nevada or Florida. And by the way, George is in the same place. Brian Kemp, who's an unbelievably weak, and I don't think he's actually a smart person. I think Brian Kemp is not a smart person. I really don't. He might be a nice guy, but he's just not a smart person. I actually think Governor Ducey is smart. He's built a business. He's done a nice job. He's done with that. But Brian Kemp is a lifelong technocrat. Not a smart guy. He might be a good person. I met him once. He wasn't very nice. But he's also probably one of America's worst governors. I put him up there with J.B. Pritzker and all these others, the way he handled the election. And that's another thing. Arizona has had one of the most questioned with, interfered with elections, and we get no answer for it. So what I have grown to learn in politics is that leadership gets rewarded. It gets rewarded from the Democrat side. It gets rewarded from the Republican side. People want a clear vision. They want a mission statement. Why you believe what you believe. What are you willing to do for it? And how is it going to benefit my life? And when you don't have leadership, that's when you get stuff like this, which is the Arizona Department of Education has created an equity toolkit claiming that babies show the first signs of racism at 3 months. I mean, this would be outrageous if it was introduced in Brooklyn, let alone in the great state of Arizona. And so if you're listening to this in any one of these states, and specifically in Arizona, you better make your voice heard to your state legislators. And this bill that they passed that says that the Academic Transparency Act, it is not even close to what we need. Meanwhile, Prop 208 is still in effect, which has some of the highest income tax. You got weed shops opening up all over the place. Somehow, in a bizarre way, you have a mask mandate and open carry. So basically, you're allowed to walk the streets of Scottsdale with an AR-15, but you have to wear a mask. That's a freedom-loving state. You can go get an abortion, but you can't go to your gym. Gyms have partially reopened. If Arizona does not get their act together, we're leaving. It's that simple. My loyalty was to the idea of this state, not to the actual roots or the dirt here. The top income tax went from 4 to 8%. Like that. Why? No leadership. So for Governor Ducey and for all of the leaders of this state, it's a great opportunity. You squander it, this becomes a suburb of California. You lean in and do the right thing, this will become Florida. The decision is yours.
Everybody's mother says, go eat your vegetables. And even as adults, we still have excuses why we don't eat them. They taste awful. It takes too much to prepare. But look, I want you guys to be able to have what I have, which is called Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature has 10 daily servings of fruits and vegetables, all in just 6 small capsules. There's absolutely no trouble, and they're always fresh, nothing artificial, and ready to take. And the cost, literally pennies per serving. Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables are no hassle, no weird flavors, and mere pennies per serving. I take them every day. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. In fact, we got a question. People say, Charlie, how do you have so much energy? Maybe it's because of Balance of Nature. I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm talking so fast, but you guys need Balance of Nature. For a limited time, all new preferred customers will receive an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use the discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use the discount code CHARLIE. That's Balance of Nature discount code CHARLIE. Again, call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com, promo code CHARLIE.
The lockdowns will go down as one of the worst decisions in American history and world history. The lockdown was never necessary. To forcibly put people in their homes was an act of immature policy and politicians that did not trust their citizens and were afraid of bad headlines. There was no epidemiological or scientific reason for mandated lockdowns. As I have said many times, if you are over the age of 60 and you have certain pre-existing conditions, then use the liberty that you already have afforded to you to not leave your home, and you will be taken care of. Instead, the decision to lock down our country was reckless and foolish. I understand maybe the first week or the second week when we were understanding what we were dealing with, but as soon as the Princess cruise ship came through, as soon as we saw the virus infection rates and death rates, the country should have fully opened. Maybe mass events should have been scaled down a little bit temporarily, but we would never have hit the economic disaster we did. We never would have had to create $4 to $5 trillion on top of our $4 trillion budget every single year. And so much of this pain would have been avoidable. Our focus always should have been on therapeutics, on prophylactics, things that have proven to work scientifically, taking the right amounts of vitamin D and zinc, going outside, getting exercise, hydrating yourself, and then if you get the virus, pursuing innovations such as Regeneron, blood transfusions, and yes, even the thing you're not allowed to talk about, hydroxychloroquine, which worked for many people that I know in my life that had the virus, and it worked very well. This looks like an Axios piece just based on the font. I think it is. It's so funny. I could tell it's Axios just looking at the font. That's actually right. Like, only they use this like Helvetica font. I always liked Helvetica when I ever did school projects. It was my favorite to use. Helvetica. It's also a fun name. It's fun to say. It sounds like a type of French imported cheese. Havarti, Helvetica. Mental health claim lines for children increased in 2020, while overall medical claim lines decreased. percent change in all medical claim lines and mental health specific claim lines between January and November 2019 versus 2020. By the numbers, parents, schools, and pediatricians have been warning for months that kids are not okay, and this analysis backs up the concern with numbers. We have seen the most dramatic increase in mental health complaints in American history. For what? For a virus that was not going to kill children. They had a higher likelihood of dying of suicide than of the Chinese coronavirus. That was on Tucker's show the other night. Teenagers' demand for mental health care skyrocketed last year amid the pandemic, even as their overall need for care declined. Females were much likelier to require mental health than males. This is completely avoidable, and this is largely because of very, very weak governors in both parties that have decided to pursue an anti-science, anti-reason, anti-logic agenda. And look at the damage it has done for our society. We went through a self-inflicted campaign that made businesses disappear that will never get back, churches fold that will never restart, relationships shattered. And even during the lockdowns, infection rates were increasing. This was all so avoidable. And any governor, Republican or Democrat, that has not fully opened their state, no masks mandate. If you think masks work, then wear them. You should have the liberty to make that decision. I'm talking about a mask mandate. Then you are now, at this point, with all the data available, contributing to a mental health crisis and one of the most immoral decisions of government in American history. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.